Let's go to John. John's gospel. Little background, okay? When Jesus started ministering publicly, he started drawing people to him. You'd probably know the story. He found 12 men who he said, right, you're going to follow me. Come and be my disciples. He just simply said, follow me, follow me, follow me. Now, James and John, they call sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder. So this old guy, fisherman, called Zebedee, had two sons. And James and John were his sons, and they were called sons of thunder. Right? That was their name. And James and John, along with the 12, followed Jesus. And Jesus did all kinds of things for 3 years, but really was ministering closely to the 12. Now, he spoke to thousands, right? But he loved particularly and invested time and energy into the 12. But not just the 12. Did you know that Jesus had the three? He's modeling good relationships. We can do with 12 good friends. Good. But then he had three really close friends. Do you know who they were? Peter, James, and John. So when he'd go and do something like come up a mountain or go and heal someone, he'd say, hey, Peter, James, John, come with me. And the others would go, unfair. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But he'd just choose them and go. But did you know that Jesus also had the one? Jesus wasn't married. You're going to like this. John, from what we can work out in Scripture, was the closest person to Jesus, period. In fact, John describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Doesn't mean he didn't love the others. But John had this special thing with Jesus. It was amazing. And so right, even we're going to see this story right here. Like John and Jesus are so close. And so John has this incredible experience of God himself. Come on, get this. Jesus is God. He's walked the planet. And so John and God, can you imagine? God himself walking side by side, just like Adam in the garden. He's Jesus and John. It's phenomenal. Now, John, all the others probably, we think, died closely, not after long after Jesus, right? So they didn't survive the whole long. John did last. He was probably 100 when he died. Probably. We don't really know. But all the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, were written earlier. Luke wasn't even an eyewitness to Jesus, we don't think. You know, that kind of constructed things. But John, when you read John, you read the real thing. Not that Matthew, Mark, and Luke aren't. But there's something different about John. John wrote his gospel around about 85 AD, something like 50 years after the events. You got that? The others are written a lot earlier after Jesus died. So John has spent a long time reflecting, ruminating. He's an old man. He's probably 85 or so. He's an old man when he writes John's gospel. He's reflective. He's deep. That's why John, when you read John, it's like, I'm on another planet now. I'm going into somewhere deep and reflective, which is why you can't speed through John's gospel. I mean, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I could spend a day on that. It's so deep. It's so profound. However, we don't have a day, and I know you've got lunch to go to and cake to eat. So what we're going to do, the book of John is divided into two halves, actually. The book of signs and the book of glory. The book of signs, actually, there's seven miracles that Jesus does in John's gospel, just that John picks out. Seven. And that's chapters 1 to 12, book of signs. Starts with the wedding feast of Cana, ends with the raising of Lazarus. But then when we shift to John 13, about halfway through the book, we're faced with just 1 week, right? 1 week. The rest of the whole book, chapters 13 to 21, is 1 week. That's deep. And it contains some of the most profound writings of Jesus that you'll ever find. I'm talking John 17. It's so good. So that's why we are taking 2 months in the ramp up to Easter to go through the events of Jesus' life up to Easter and what was happening just before. So it's, 5 weeks before Easter or whatever. But we're going to take a time, getting to that point where we really understand and deeply walk through the life of Jesus. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Now, to help you with that, the Life Build Academy is different, is less in that, and it's listening and then reflecting later. So jump on there. You can get it through a church app. Let me know if you get stuck. It'll be in the Monday newsletter. Okay. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. John is the disciple of love. He just talks about love. Why? Because he's encountered love. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. I mean, we could preach on that, and I will. Love one another just as I have loved you. There's the gospel. Love each other as I have loved you. Spend your life loving one another. How do I do? Just as I have loved you. If we get how God loves us, that's how we love other people. But here's the tragedy. Who knows that God really loves them? Right. How much? When you're having a bad day, does he love you? God, he could puts up with you a bit, doesn't he? No, totally loves you, no matter what. We cannot comprehend God's love, really. I know we love, and we know God loves us, right? But I mean, really, really, really loves us, like designs us. He's mad about us. We don't like talking about this because we're Aussies, cynical. Yeah, yeah. You need to be a bit American. Any Americans in the room? Yeah, I'm so great. God loves me. No, seriously, we've got to get across that line of God is mad about us. No matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, no matter what we think we're doing, it does not change God's love. He is totally wrapped up in us. Why? Because he made us. Made us so that he could show his love to us. So no one is disqualified. You can't disqualify yourself from God's love. Love one another as I have loved you. The more you experience and encounter God's love, guess what? The more you're going to love other people. So just by saying, go and love people, it'll be pretty shallow. But immerse yourself in God's love. Experience God's love. It's going to be natural. Okay, I've got to keep moving. How do we love one another? Here's five ideas. We're going to dive right in to the foot washing passage. Yeah. I'm not going to go there. Who's got socks on? Now, before the feast of the Passover, this is John 13:1. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world, and to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. All right, a week to go, Jesus knows what's going to happen. He's surrounded. He's at the Last Supper. You know the paintings where they're all sitting on the one side of the table? Right? He's in the Last Supper. And he says he loves them to the end. Well, some translations say love them to the full extent of his love. What he's about to do is the full extent of his love. What he's about to show them is a key, a significant key. Now, he's not showing, I want you to see this. He's not showing the disciples his love so they can analytically go, he does this, this, and this, so therefore I do this. He's not loving because it's the right thing to do. Understand this. He wants to. You can love because it's the right thing to do. I should do this. I guess I should. I'm married. I should do that. I'm a father. I should do that. I'm a neighbor. I should. So therefore, I'm love. No. Love because something moves your heart. Okay. So how do we love? Here's the first thing. Love locally. Love locally. Did you see this? Jesus getting ready, having loved his own. He's just got the 12. He's loving his family. Love locally. Who is the recipient of his love? The people closest to him. So here's the first key. He loved the people in his world. St. Augustine, way back in the 300s, said, since you cannot do good to all, you are to pay special regard to those who by accidents of time or place or circumstance are brought in closer connection with you. Oh, what a cracking statement. I'm going to read it again. Since you cannot do good to all, there's 8 billion people on the planet, right? You can't. Right. You are to pay special regard to those who, by the accidents of time or place or circumstance, are brought into closer connection with you. Yeah. Your family, your neighbours, your friends. Love them. Start there. Love locally. That's what Jesus does. Certainly he loves the world, but he starts with his 12. Loves them locally. And what does he do? He washes their feet. I mean, this is a bit weird. But in that day, they'd come there. Usually there would be a servant as they walked in. They've got sandals on. It's dusty, dirty, smelly. And the thing is, when they ate, they'd sit on the floor, kind of near the food, and they'd recline together. So, you know, your feet are everywhere in the food. And, you know, it's a bit unsightly. I mean, you've got manure from horses. You've got, you know, dust and dirt in your toenails, you know, when you squeal through one of them. I mean, your feet, and you know when you're wearing sandals, I don't wear them anymore, but Jesus sandals, you know, I wear Jesus sandals with socks. You know. So when you tread in manure or something, it kind of just comes inside. It doesn't just stay. So anyway, so this is what they're supposed to do. When they walk in the door, someone washes the feet. Now, I don't know if they'd forgotten or if there wasn't someone who's doing that, but Jesus says, I'm going to do that for you. This is the context of this. Not because it's the right thing to do, not that he's modeling servant leadership. He wanted them to know love. Now, to wash someone's feet, that's kind of personal. It's kind of intimate, isn't it? It's not sexual, right? But it's still pretty like sensitive, right? Someone touches my foot and I know it. Or a giggle or something. Like it's like dirty. You've got to understand that Jesus is going to the most sensitive, culturally kind of crossing boundaries, and he's in that space of love right there. He loves locally right there. Second thing he does is he loves intentionally. I'm going to walk through this passage. So Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. You see that? He knew what was going on, and so he took action. He rose. He got up. It's on purpose love. It's the heartbeat of what we call agapeo, which is the Greek word for serving active kind of love. You know, there's phileo, which is brotherly love. I love my brother because we have to, because we're brothers. There's eros, erotic love. You can work out what that one is. Romantic, sexual love. But agapeo is servant-hearted, giving love because it's a choice. Not because you necessarily feel it, but because I am going to do this. I rose. He says, I rose from supper. Love is a choice, just because you can. Love intentionally. Talk with someone. It takes intention, doesn't it? Even outside, after church. Yeah. Have you ever done that? Someone you know, you'd like, no, it's too hard. Some of us are very reserved. But to actually intentionally. I was on a train last week to Sydney, bit of a commute. When I travel, I have like 3 computers with me, headphones, books. 4 hours, yes, on a train. I love it. Window seat, back of the car. Just in my own world. So I'm settling in. Oh, it's fantastic. And I look up. And here's a guy that I know. An older gentleman, John Hoy. Some of you might know him. A beautiful, beautiful man who's family friend. Knew my parents. Lived behind us as kids. Just one of the most beautiful people you'd ever met. And I look up, and inwardly, part of me honestly goes, no, I'm going to have to talk to him. I'm going to have to put aside my plans. And so John comes. I say, John, because I haven't seen John. He's a beautiful friend. And John says, oh, lovely to see you. Can I sit with you? Yes. That would be lovely. So he sits in. And look, we have a lovely, lovely chat. And he's very respectful. He says, oh, it looks like you're doing some study. I said, yeah, I'll get to it. You know, I'll get there. But it was just the most lovely catch-up and to talk to him and find out what's going on in his world. But tell you what, it took intention. It took me to go, forget my own little world. It's not that important anyway. Let's just get out of yourself. So love intentionally. Be purposeful. Talk to someone. Pray for someone. Damien, let's pray for Damien this week, but actually decide to do it while you're brushing your teeth or something. You know, give something to someone. It actually takes purpose to go, I'm going to give something to someone. You got the point. Love locally. Love intentionally. The next thing that Jesus does, which I really love, is to love simply. He rose from supper on purpose. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. He took a towel. He took $1 million to give to someone. He took some expensive wine. He gave somebody a weekend retreat away at a 7-star resort. He sent somebody on a cruise. Oh, don't you elaborate with your love? Do you love the scheming? Oh, if only I could do this for someone. If only I could just buy someone a car. Jesus takes up a towel. You see that? Simple. It's like, what have I got around me? Oh, a towel. That'll do. You don't need the extravagance, the abundance, the ridiculous. You just need a towel. You just need whatever you've got on you. Love simply. I love the stories of people when they get engaged, you know. This might have been you. But, you know, it's the surprise and there's a camera hiding behind the bushes and there's across the sky, you know, this plane going, will you marry me? And then a guitarist jumps out and sings love songs and on the beach and it's sunset and somebody set up this elaborate, then they pull out the ring and then she says, no. Dear, dear. So that might have been you when you got engaged, if you're married. That was Ian. I bet. He's the romantic, isn't he? Yeah, we tried that when Roe and I got married. It's like, why don't we do this? Let's have a shot. When we got engaged, yeah. Let's go, yeah, let's give this a go. A bit more than that. So, love simply. Just do it. Pick up whatever. You don't need excuses. What have you got now to love? It's never about the stuff. It's the heart behind it of why you want to love. Number four, how are we going? Love locally, love intentionally, love simply, love with boundaries. Peter said to him, this is funny, Jesus is kind of going around washing. You can just imagine, you know, I don't know if there's a line like they have in that picture of the Last Supper, and Jesus is sneaking under the table, or it's that sense of you're sitting here, and I'm Peter. James is having a go. It took a while because James has got long toenails. John, Levi, it's going to be me. And Peter is a pretty self-sufficient kind of character. He's getting a bit nervous. I'm not so comfortable. Like this is God. He's going to touch my feet and I haven't kind of brushed my hair down there for a while on my feet. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share in me. He's getting over the pride. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands, my head. Like, I'm all in. I just do my feet. Like, this is Peter, right? All in. Just all or nothing. I do the whole lot then. Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. You see, Peter doesn't want it, then he does want it. But Jesus is able to say, look, I'm going to pull up here. I'm not going to wash all of you. You've got to trust that I love you. Love with boundaries. You don't have to go all the way with everybody. You don't have to do everything for everybody all the time. Just do what's needed. Now, we live in a world of manipulation. Oh, but you don't love me. Unless you wash all of me, you don't love me. Unless you do this, oh, you don't. You've got to trust. You love some boundaries. What are the boundaries around that relationship? This is all you need. And you've got to believe that I love you from that. And don't be pulled into manipulation or that's not love. Jesus said, no, I'm just going to wash your feet and you have to believe me. Draw a line. Don't let the fear of getting absorbed in the task of love stop you from entering at all, because that's the flip side. Oh, if I open that door, oh my goodness, there goes all my weekend. If I do that relationship, if I talk to her, then I know that. So don't let the fear of being pulled into the big context stop you from loving to the point that you can and should. Does that make sense? Love with boundaries. And lastly, love servant-heartedly. After Jesus has done all these things, washed all of them, he sat down. He says, okay, boys, here's the point. That's more than that, because he genuinely is loving them. But he wants to draw something out. And he says this, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. It's quite simple, isn't it? If I do it for you, you can do it for each other, metaphorically. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. St. Teresa says this, I see someone dying, I pick him up. I find somebody hungry, I give him food. He can love and be loved. I don't look at his color. I don't look at his religion. I don't look at anything. Every person, whether he's Hindu, Muslim, or Buddhist, he's my brother and my sister. Essentially, love, action kind of love. Servant-hearted love. Love that doesn't put yourself on a pedestal. Love that does what's beneath you. Love that's able to go anywhere and love. Love that's able to love any kind of person. We are terrible in our society at the moment of labels of people, identity of people. We come up with all these constructed labels. And do you know what they do? They pit one against the other. I'm this, no, I'm that. I'm identifying as this, no, I'm identifying. Can we just forget labels? We're human beings, made in God's image, all worthy of love. Let's just look over the labels and what people think they are or what they say they are. They're just a person and a person deserving love. No matter what creed or color or context they come from. Love servant-heartedly. Look through it all and love. I find this just astonishingly simple. And as we finish, Ben, can I get you to jump up here? Jesus clearly issues an invitation to love. That's all it is. It's an invitation into the kind of love that God loves us with. He says, would you come on this love journey with me? Because you capture the heart of who I am if you walk this journey. If you engage with love, you engage with me. If you love others, you love me. It's so interconnected. You can't love me and not love your brother or your neighbor. It's just impossible. It's all one and the same. We love God by loving other people. This idea of love, not sort of soppy, gooey love. Love is not always love. I'm talking about servant-hearted, loving people for who they are. The dignity of humanity. We look at the toughest person to love and we go there. Because that's what Jesus did. He went to the lowest of the low and raised them up. Love locally, love intentionally, love simply, love with boundaries, love servant-heartedly, love God and love people, love the people closest to you, love your family, love the people in your church and your life group, love the people you come across in your workplace, in your neighborhood, love your enemies, do good to those who hurt you. Someone said that once. And love who God created you to be. This is important. If you hate yourself, it's going to be tough to love your neighbor. I'm not talking about empty self popping up. No, love yourself because God loves you. Love who God created you to be. Celebrate that. There's 8 billion incredible people on the planet. Every human being is just amazing. Every single person is complex. I mean, people, my goodness, what was God thinking? He's just created something beautiful in every single person, something unique, something whole. Would you close your eyes with me? Do you know what happens? Jesus says, if you love like this, all people will know that you're my disciples. There it is, verse 35. Just the key to evangelism. Love your neighbor. Love your family. If you love like this, people will know that you're my disciples. Like, you're one of those Jesus people. I get it. I see a church filled with love. I see a church that reaches out beyond its boundaries. I see a church that loves the people of the church. I see people engaging with each other in sacrificial love. I see people loving each other as God loves us. I see people being refreshed and freed up because of the knowledge that God loves them. Right now, this morning, if you're battling with self-love, get it right. It's God's love of you. You don't need to invent things and look at the good way. No, just accept right now that God loves you and receive His love. Peter didn't want that. You might not want that. It's getting too close. Don't touch my feet. But Jesus says, let me come and be with you, and I'll show you how significant you are. I'll show you how beautiful you are. I'll show you your potential. I'll show you everything that you can't even see right now because you're lost, but I will come. I'll make my home in you and restore you to who you are meant to be. He says, I love you dearly. Start there and let the love flow out to your friends and your family and your neighborhood. Just take a moment. Invite Jesus into your world that you would know His love. Everything would flow from there. And if you need help, I would love to come and pray with you. In fact, I will be here just for a bit. If you need help on that, any type of prayer, I'm going to be here for a few moments to come and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.